Martha Lanning of Sheboygan is one of five candidates running to be the next chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The party will choose its next chair at its convention June 5 and 6 in Milwaukee. Martha, thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, give us the short version of who Martha Lanning is and your business career. I mean, Target and fundraising, but it's your story. Go ahead, give us a short version.
I was born and raised here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. I have a wonderful husband of 24 years and three children, two at UW-Madison and a son at Sheboygan North High. I have an undergraduate degree from UW-Madison, a personnel management accounting, and an MBA in finance, both from Madison. Strong background in business. I was known as somebody who, when I was working at Target stores, that could develop strong teams and get things done and save money. And those skills were also beneficial to me in my community. I'm very involved in helping out like a local theater in our town raise money to keep it going, nonprofits, and working with the public schools. It's a very special thing to me. I'm one of those people that when I see something needs to be done, for instance, when I was on PTO, found out that the teachers wanted us to buy granola bars because we had so many kids that were living in poverty. They're coming to school hungry. So I led the charge to get a breakfast program started at the school, raise more money for computers or for library books. So I've been an activist in my community. And most recently in my career, I was asked to make a 10-year dream of an intergenerational center a reality. So I brought together people from all over the community, all different generations and different income levels, to raise over $4.6 million to build this beautiful intergenerational center for Sheboygan County that has a senior center, Head Start, child care center in it. So I'm somebody that sees a problem and tries to get involved.
And then last year you ran for the state senate.
I did. I was recruited by the Democratic Party to run for state senate. It was a great experience. I'm fortunate that we lost and seeing the losses up and down the ticket, but it was my respect for what Wisconsin is all about. You know, this is a state that I owe my success to. My dad grew up in a very poor northern Wisconsin family, dirt floor poor. And like children from many families living in poverty, he quit school. And he joined the Merchant Marines to send home money to his family. And it was a public school teacher that reached out to him and encouraged him to come back and get his high school diploma, which he did. And then the GI Bill allowed him to become a chemical engineer and provide financial security for me. So I have always been about trying to give back to Wisconsin because Wisconsin has given me much.
When you answered questions from Blogging Blue, you made the statement that I wanted, that follows up on this issue. Campaigns are a messy business. That's why my background makes me a strong candidate for party chair. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, the thing.
Campaigns are messy business first, maybe, or what?
Yeah, campaigns are a messy business because everybody has a different theory, a different idea about what you should do. You know, should we put our money into literature or should we put our money into TV? Should you pivot from the question or should you answer the question directly? Mm-hmm. And I think business is often like that too, where you all have to come together at a table and you have to chart a path for what exactly is our goal here and what are the most important things that we have to do to reach that goal and breaking that ultimate goal down. And I think some of that structure would be very beneficial for us to add. And I think clearly for me, when I ran for Senate, I met so many wonderful progressives in our state, not all party members. Some of them are volunteers and aren't party members, grassroots organizers, but everybody has the same goal. They all want to get progressives in our legislature. And what I'd like to do is bring all those people to the table together and to develop a stronger Democratic team that is all working together. And I think I'm very good at doing that. I've been proven to do that well, both in my corporate world and nonprofit management.
So you've learned the lessons then as a state senate candidate, even though you finished second, to put it tactfully, that really got you interested in running for party chair, which is a much bigger job. Talk about that evolution from state senate candidate last November to candidate for party chair.
Well, I was asked right away. I was asked often to run for state chair, and I actually said no. I was under the firm belief that, hey, there's a lot of people in this party that can do this job. What I did do, though, was I started to analyze how did we lose. I got 7% more votes than Mary Burke did in my district.
You did.
Yeah, so people voted for Governor Walker as independents and then voted for me. So we did what we needed to do to make a very strong Republican district swing my way. What caused our loss? Voter turnout. We 95% of the people who voted for Mitt Romney came out and voted for Governor Walker. Only 68% of Barack Obama's voters came out and voted for me.
Why?
That's the question. You just hit the question. And so I immediately started to ask people. I reached out to Democrats across the state. And what I was learning was we have all these little campfires going on around the state, different groups doing strategic analysis and coming up with ideas. And I said, you know what we need to do is stop duplicating efforts and bring everybody together. So I organized a gathering in Stevens Point. And my purpose of it was we invited every single county chair. We invited candidates. We invited college Dems. We invited a large group of people. And the purpose was let's all work together and find out what our problems are so that we can say, hey, delegate or chair candidates, these are the concerns we think we need to address. How would you address them? What happened is, it's like, Martha, how do you go from that, from being a chair?
Yeah.
What happened was, as facilitator of that group, many people came up to me afterwards and said, why aren't you running for chair? That this is exactly what we need to have happening, Martha. And my initial response was, I have been only in the party a short time. I've been a Democrat my whole life.
How long have you been in the party? Because
I joined the party when I entered the race for Senate. So this is my second year in the party. But
do you see that as a disadvantage in terms of your credentials to being chair? Martha?
No, I don't see it as a disadvantage because I think it's a fresh perspective. You know, at first I agree that I was saying there's other people in the party that can do this, but what I was seeing when I was looking at the candidates and what I was seeing going on around the state is we need a chair that unites everyone and draws out the great answers from the members, from the party members, from the grassroots organizations. We need someone who can build that team because it's not one person that is going to solve the problems in this state. It's a strong team that's going to solve the problems.
Well, it's at least 17 years since a party chair has not come from Dane or Milwaukee counties. Do you see your Sheboygan County as an asset in terms of your running for chair?
Absolutely, because I think it gives you a perspective, a different perspective. I think we have to value everybody in our state. Yes, Madison and Milwaukee are very important areas to winning races, but so are our rural areas. And I really disagree with this idea that we give up on some areas. When we walk away from certain areas, we allow a conservative message to have the podium all the time. And we need to be sure that we're doing what we can to strengthen the party there. Even if they can't win the election, we have to continually keep that message going because it's the only way we will gain strength. I mean, my home county of Sheboygan County used to be strongly Democratic. We lost our Democratic Senate seat, and then we just slowly but surely turned into a very strong Republican district. And that, I think we have to have strong candidates that can swing that back over. And I think I made a real dent on that.
It's been said that the Republican Party is kind of at war with itself, with the hard right Tea Party versus some of the moderates. Is there a similar dialogue, I'm not using the term war, going on within the Democratic Party, Martha?
I don't believe so. I believe there are a lot of Democrats that if we were winning races would be perfectly fine with what's going on here. I think the key to this is, and let me tell you about some of my ideas, okay? First is, our messaging seems to be more defensive than offensive.
You say in the Blogging Blue that our party has too often been defined by what the Republicans are doing in Madison.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the point that you're making?
Absolutely.
You're playing more defense than offense?
Absolutely. I'm proud to be a Democrat. Why? Because we believe in an opportunity for everyone to work hard and build a better life for themselves. What happened with my dad, we want that for future generations. We want to ensure that. I believe in fairness. You know, why should manufacturers not pay a single dollar of state income tax in our state next year? Mm-hmm. But construction industry, retail, everybody else has to pay full amount. Why? Why are we doing these unfair things? Those are things that is an example of something the Republicans are pushing forward. So we need to stand up and say, you know what? We're for fairness. and this is what would be fair. And I believe that once we stand up and stop talking to their game, but start talking to our values, our progressive values, we're going to start to see a real shift in our direction amongst the constituents, and we'll be winning elections.
And you say in Blogging Blue, and that's the last time I'll quote that, that, that your top issues are quality K-12 public schools, economic prosperity, valuable affordable health care, clean sustainable environment, equality and respect for all. Any of those you want to elaborate on?
Oh, I think, I mean, obviously education for me, you know, the investment that our country and our state made in my dad has enabled him to provide for his family his entire life and to pay taxes, and now three kids, all with master's degrees, able to do the same. That never would have happened if that opportunity wasn't there. And I'm very concerned about our funding cuts to education and how we are starting, even in Sheboygan right now, they did a fundraiser to build an engineering center for both of our high schools. Wonderful, right? So private investment in it. What about the towns that don't have any big businesses that can invest in that? You know, Wisconsin used to be about having schools everywhere that would be quality schools, and the schools that are struggling, we need to help them. The economy is another big issue for us. You know, I'm a finance, you know, I have an MBA in finance, and our budget is higher than it's ever been. Our debt is higher than it's ever been. 30 of the states in the United States have better bond ratings than us. Our financial outlook in Wisconsin is not strong, and our growth is not strong. Why? Because more and more people are living in poverty, and so more and more people are trying to get assistance to survive. And when we attack our unions, who are the voice to help create that balance, to prevent income inequality, when we attack them, we only allow that income inequality to grow.
Thanks for mentioning unions, because you were just endorsed this week by the AFSCME People Conference. Mm-hmm. But here's my question. You think it's possible for Democrats to repeal Act 10 or Right to Work over the next 2, 4, 6 years?
Absolutely.
Both those?
I absolutely believe that we can repeal them. But what it's going to take is stronger messaging. Stop responding to the Republicans' message, but start standing with our value-based messaging that resonates with voters. We need to grow a stronger party. We need to invest in our county parties so that they're strong and can support our candidates, and so that they're getting our message out year-round, not just a few months before the election. We need to have strong fundraising, but we also need to be sure that we're wisely spending our money, putting our money where it gives us the best value. And finally, we got to get voter turnout. We lost the race, both of the first and the last race with Governor Walker, because we didn't get voter turnout.
That's
midterm
one,
elections.
That's
we
one
have
of my questions.
To get it out there.
Why can't your party beat Governor Walker 2010, 2012, 2014?
I definitely feel that we did not beat Governor Walker in 2010 and 2014 because of voter turnout. I'll give you an example. In my district, Americans for Prosperity and the Republican Party put out 8 pieces to just get their base out. And was Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers group, very value-driven pieces to say Republicans go out and vote. Voter turnout in my district went up 16%. What did we do? Nothing. The Democratic Party did not put out any kind of literature like that. We did get out the vote, so we knocked on doors, but that's dependent upon how strong our van base is, and it's also dependent upon how many volunteers you have. You can't knock on every single door. So we need to get in there and identify why aren't our voters coming out to vote, and start making addressing those issues.
What are your benchmark goals for the 2016, 2018, and 2020 elections if you're chair?
Well, first we need to start working right now. It's not in 2016 or the campaign months. Right now, I would like to bring together progressives from all over the state, both party members, issue experts, organizations, and grassroots organizers. And I'd like to address every single one of our issues and come up with messaging. And a messaging that will work both in conservative and in more liberal areas. We need to have options for our candidates. I'd like to give that information to all of our counties and all of our candidates so that they have a strong base from where to start with strong messaging. Two, we need to build those county parties. We need, as I said, they need to be there to support those candidates, because it's tough. It's tough business being a candidate now. And we can't expect that DPW with a few people are going to be able to support every county's candidates.
Has the DPW been too top-down and not valued the local county chairs in the past?
Do you know, I believe that DPW could do a better job of building up our base, absolutely. I think that the counties are very important to us. And their voice is very important to us. And, you know, when you have a strong voice, when I was running, there were people who came out and said, I didn't know you were a Democrat. There were Democrats coming out saying, I had no idea he was a Democrat. People are quiet because there isn't any strong Democratic voice in your community. So it's important that we recruit candidates that can make people say, yeah, I agree with that, and can start talking about our issues and start bringing that pendulum in those really red areas back over to
purple. Well, you want to be chair at a very intriguing time. 2016, there's a presidential race. There's a U.S. Senate race. 2018 is a race for governor and a U.S. Senate race. 2020 then is going to determine who draws the next borders for the redistricting process. So, do you see the party as kind of a crossroads here?
Yeah, I think we're at a critical stage, and that's why I'm fearful of what I see happening in Wisconsin. And I think it's important that we start getting community leaders in all over the state of Wisconsin to be stepping forward and to be saying, yes, I am going to run for office, because we need to make change. And if we don't, I think our financial situation's in a bad shape. I think our unions are being destroyed. And I think that's going to cause income inequality and, you know, unsafe labor conditions for our union workers and our workers in the community. So we really need to make some change now.
Does the party need to field candidates in every Senate and Assembly seat that's up in 2016, 2018, because that's a question of resources.
Right.
A Democratic candidate in a district that's 60, 65, or 70% Republican, how much resource can the party put behind she or he as a Dem candidate?
If you went and talked to candidates right now, you would learn that there were candidates that ran that did not get support. So the key here is that if we build the county parties, then those candidates would have a support network. If they had a manual that says, here's messaging that we're recommending, right there they have something. I'd like to create an entire manual that gave them, you know, how do you get your finance system? What's the difference between the two systems? Here are the comparisons. This is how you should choose. You know, where do you go to get TV ads? Who are people that you can work with? If we had a manual like that, there is a type of support. It's just not staff support. So I disagree with the idea that we can't support candidates. Mm-hmm. We may not be able to afford to get staff for each candidate. And I understand that. That's a limitation of resources. But right now, we could be building resources that are available to all our candidates and supplying our county parties with that.
What about, should a chair stay neutral when you have two or more candidates in the Democratic Party? Because you know how controversial that is.
Absolutely. I believe that we as a party chair should be encouraging, you know, good candidates to get into the race. And, you know, we need to be sure that we're letting the people, our Democrats, get to choose who the Democratic candidates are. And I also will tell you something. I come from a development background, so I have raised money. And raising money isn't for everybody. And, you know, we need to be very careful that we're not just picking candidates that can raise money. Mm-hmm. That's not what we need. Is candidates that can be good representatives, that can make good legislative decisions. And so what I'd like to do is to build a network that will support good candidates to raise the money they need to win.
But sometimes it's been contentious between the state Democratic chair and the leaders of the caucuses in both the Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats. That's not always been a kumbaya moment. Mm-hmm. So how would you work with the, right now, Representative Barca and Senator Schilling in terms of finding candidates?
We all have the same goal. So we all need to sit down at a table together and say, okay, what's our plan here? What's the best way for us to address this? And I think we need to partner. There are great organizations in our state that are out there on their own trying to help find good candidates in districts. I was found by one of those groups. And so what we need to do is stop duplicating efforts and being able to say, save your resources, because this person's helping us. They'll come back to us and we'll report to us what our options are. We'll all be in this decision process, but let's start being more efficient and not duplicating efforts.
You're the only woman running of five candidates. Is that a major advantage? Any different dynamics there?
I think it's great to be a woman. I personally believe that, you know, as a mother of three kids, you learn how to negotiate. You learn that there's compromise. You know, you sometimes I think women have that more nurturing kind of attitude where you want everybody to feel that they have a part in the success of everything. And because of that, do you know when the government shut down, who got the government to start it back up again?
There was a caucus of women, I think senators, who met across party lines and said, hey, let's restart.
Absolutely.
We're talking and that's about Washington then, I think 2 to 3 years ago.
Absolutely. So that's why I think women bring to the table that we're people who will find ways to resolve our issues and bring people together.
Well, I asked this question. I'm grateful that all five candidates have agreed to be interviewed by Wisconsinite. So I'm asking this question. Do you want to talk about why you're more qualified than your four other candidates? You want to talk about why you're more qualified than Mr. Jason Ray out of Milwaukee?
Do you know, I would tell you all five of the candidates are great Democrats. Okay. There's no doubt about it that we have five great Democrats that are running for office. And what makes me special is that my organizational skills, my proven experience on building, bringing people together to solve big problems and to solve big challenges. I mean, raising $4.6 million during the Great Recession, the campaign was canceled because the stock market crashed, and yet I successfully got that beautiful building built during the recession. That was a real challenge, you know, solving problems for a corporation to save millions of dollars. Those are big problems, and I have that experience. One of the key things we haven't really talked about is our governor is going to run for president.
Yes.
The Democratic Party, the spokesman for the Democratic Party, is going to be on a national stage. We have an opportunity here to have a clear, concise voice to be representing our state and our progressive principles. And that's another skill that I have, is that I can communicate the issues that we want addressed and that I can stand up for our progressive values and use George Lakoff's value-driven messaging. And then the third thing that I would say is that when we build a stronger Democratic Party, when we get more people involved in that Democratic Party, and you know, some people say, oh, you've only been in the party 2 years. I've been a Democrat my whole life, you know, and Democrats are out there getting breakfast programs started and doing those kinds of things. So we need to be inclusive. We need to start to realize that it takes the whole team and get more people to join our efforts, and then we will win in 2016 and beyond.
Well, now you got me curious. If you get 2 minutes on Meet the Press on a Sunday to talk about why Governor Scott Walker shouldn't be president, what's your message there?
Because I don't think Governor Walker claims that he's a good business person and can advance this, but look at Wisconsin. I mean, we have national growth. I mean, President Obama has made changes that have really advanced. And we're seeing some real growth in the nation, but not in Wisconsin. We're 38th in growth, you know, as I mentioned earlier, our financial situation. We literally had to refinance a loan payment because we don't have the money to pay for it in this year. We've got a $2.2 billion deficit that they had to slash to deal with in the budget, and those cuts are devastating to us. So I would say that Governor Walker, you need to look at really what the results are, not just what he says.
Okay, and I'm going to play Bob Schieffer, Meet the Press. And my follow-up question is, what do you consider, Ms. Lanning, the most damaging thing that Governor Walker has, the most damaging policy decision that Governor Walker got enacted in his 5 years in office?
I believe that Governor Walker has divided our state. He has separated it. He doesn't represent all the people of our state. He only represents the people that benefit him. And in the cases that I can give an example, Act 10, you know, we needed to balance the budget. Yes, we did. But he didn't bring people together at a table and say, let's work together and balance this. He had the power to enact devastating legislation, and he did it on the backs of our state workers. And I think that's a shame, and it sent a really strong message of who he cares about.
You campaign on a fair living wage. I'm just curious. State chairs don't run on specific issues, but what do you think would be a fair living wage?
Well, I'm supportive of a 10-10 minimum wage increase,
right. But
I don't
Hansen's
think 10-10.
And others, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think 10-10 is a living wage by any means. But I'm supportive that we need to start making movement towards raising our wages. You know, when the Walmart family, six Walmart members, own 41% of the wealth in our country, but yet the average wage of a Walmart employee is $8.50 an hour. You know, one of the big pieces that resonated really well with people in my district was there's a study that shows one Walmart supercenter in the state of Wisconsin has the working employees there. We spend $900,000 a year on public assistance for the working employees
Medicaid
of that one
and
store.
Other public benefits?
$900,000 of our tax dollars that should go to education and to road repair and all those things are going to support their employees when they make $12 billion in profit.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that?
Absolutely.
You're a former Target employee.
Yeah.
Does Target employ some of the same practices that you consider unfair?
I would definitely agree that Target, and when one of the things, now I worked there 20 years ago, and the issue for me is the Dayton's family started Target, and you could see even when I was leaving there that huge salaries started coming to our senior executives, and yet our cashiers or our cash office people would be receiving much lower wages. That's just not equitable, and it's not right, and it's something that we have to work on. But some people might say, why do you want to work for a company like that? We need progressives to be working for a company like that because we need that progressive voice to say, this isn't what we're about. This isn't what Target should be about. If we really care about our community, we should be paying our employees a fair wage.
You have said that every Democrat should be a progressive. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think progressives stand for helping the people who can't help themselves be able to have the opportunity to help themselves. You know, a progressive is somebody that looked at my dad's situation, a family living in poverty, and says, let's be sure that we can reach out to those kids and say, get an education, because that's the ticket out of there. A progressive is someone that says everyone has a right to your own beliefs, but you don't have a right to discriminate against someone who chooses to make a long-time life commitment to a person of the same sex. You know, a progressive is somebody who we should be proud of, and I think Democrats should be proud of that.
You just did one campaign in November for the state Senate. You're in another campaign to be party chair, aren't you?
How
does one campaign to be party chair when there are five candidates?
You know, you get out there and you talk to people. You know, I was talking to Mary Arnold from Columbia County Chair just the other day, and you meet with people and you tell them what you believe and you listen to what they need. And you make notes about it to say, okay, when I get in there, these are the changes we're going to make to strengthen our message, build our county party so that message is getting out year-round and that they have the support to bring in good candidates, adequate fundraising, and find a way to get our team to the polls every single election.
Well, I want to preview now of what you're going to tell the delegates on June 5 and June 6 when all candidates are given a chance to give a reason, give a speech about why they should be elected chair. What's your short version of that stump speech?
I'm fearful of what's happening in the state of Wisconsin. The state has given me a great life because of the progressive principles that promoted programs like the Opportunity for Quality Education. And I want to bring my skills of team building and leadership and being able to develop that message of facilitating our team, developing strong messaging. I want to bring those skills to DPW so that we develop a strong team and that we win in elections in 2016 and beyond. And I will emphasize the importance of our labor unions and emphasize the importance of everyone working together and us working to have a clean environment and ensuring that education is a priority because our future generations deserve the Wisconsin that I had, and I'd like to be sure that happens.
Martha Lanning of Sheboygan, one of five candidates for Democratic chair. Thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you so much
and
for
then
inviting
just as programming note, you can go to wiseye.org to see our interviews with also candidate for Democratic chair Joe Winicky and Jeff Smith and Jason Ray. We will be interviewing on April 21st. We're also looking forward to be interviewing Democratic chair candidate Steve Smith. Martha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.